Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Well, how often haven't you heard this little saying, which is not trite, but it's very important, obvious, an obvious truism, but sometimes quickly forgotten, and that is, first things first. Now, what might that refer to? That could even be, you know, referring to a Fox Sports talk show with Chris Carter and Nick Wright, or title of songs, several songs by different artists that have been recorded, or even book titles. For example, a book by that title written by Stephen Covey, a self-help book on how to succeed. Or what about the FTF Foundation, First Things First Foundation, which is a Christian organization that was founded by former NFL quarterback Kurt Warner and his wife Brenda in May 2001. The name of that organization was inspired by a dialogue between Warner and the media in a post-game interview after the Rams won the Super Bowl in January 2000, and Warner was named the game's most valuable player. So here's Mike Tirico of ABC. He asks, "Hey, Kurt, first things first, tell me about that final touchdown pass to Isaac." Warner responds, "Well, first things first, I've got to thank my Lord and Savior up above. Thank you, Jesus." Well, he got it right because it agrees with Jesus about what's first, what's the priority. Because Jesus weighs in the Sermon on the Mount with, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." That's not just a suggestion, that's a command, but it is followed quickly by a promise, and all these things that people are anxious about, will be added to you. They'll be yours as well. This is the principle of priority, getting first things first. Now, the thing that comes to my mind is I'm envisioning a very complicated multi-step math problem. So you got all these steps until you finally get to the conclusion and the right answer at the end. But if you miss on the first part, the first step, the rest of it is wrong. And so it is in life. If we don't have first things first, the rest of it is just not going to work out right. So we're going to take a little time now in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 35. I want to touch on a couple of highlights where Jesus tells us about getting first things first. It all begins with Jesus, who, by the way, is a very keen observer, not only of human behavior, but because he is God, he also knows what is inside of the thoughts of people, and what's going on there. And one of the most obvious of emotional states, which would be stress, then compounded by anxiety. And this is what Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." Don't be anxious about these things. But you know what? There's a temptation that we face an awful lot, and that is to be anxious. In fact, that's why Jesus says, do not be anxious. Well, if you look around you today and just think about the different things you have experienced over the past week, well, the obvious first thing that comes to mind is the COVID-19. Is it on the decline now? And we're kind of waiting as we're in this state in phase three of reopening. But all that got really complicated in Minneapolis with the murder of this man. And then the following that, not only in Minneapolis, but in major cities around the country, where there were protests sometimes breaking out into violence. So there is that temptation for us right now to be in a state of anxiety, where the stress now morphs into anxiety. And you know, when that's happening and things are outside of our control, we can't control what's happening with COVID-19. We can't control what's happening with these protests, possibly even violence breaking out. But we see that everything kind of goes a little bit crazy. We just can't predict where it's going. And speaking of that, it wasn't that long ago. It was 7:45 in the morning, and there was a store that opened up at 8 o'clock at a time for seniors only. And I said, aha, that's for me. And so I got in line about 7:45, when all of a sudden, a young man came from a parking lot, and he tried to cut to the front of the line when an old lady started beating him with her cane, and then she was joined in by a lady who had a great big NIV study Bible who whacked him over the head, and he fell down. Well, he got up again, but as he's again trying to head for the head of the line, there was a man with his walker who reached out his leg and tripped him and then savagely kicked him in the ribs. So for a third time, he tries to get to the head of the line, and he shouts out to the people, "If you folks don't let me unlock the door, none of you will get in to shop." Now, obviously, I made that little story up. But you see, crazy things do happen. Strange emotions that enter our awareness, even anxiety. And Jesus nails it. He says, don't be anxious about food, drink, clothing. And that's just the beginning. We add to that issues of our health, of our finances, our families, our future. Is chaos going to break out? But we've got to follow the logic that Jesus lays out for us in the Sermon on the Mount. The subject of food, and by the way, I hardly ever think about that until, again, this pandemic, and I went to the store, and there were shelves that were absolutely empty. But Jesus said, hey, look at the birds, for instance. They don't gather and store up food. They don't build barns, but your Heavenly Father feeds them. He's got it all taken care of. And then consider the lilies, how they grow. They don't toil or spin. In fact, they don't even go to Amazon and order online some new clothes. God clothes them. He takes care of them, and then he explains how beautifully God does it. He says that even Solomon, that richest of kings, in all of his glory, was not dressed or arrayed like one of these lovely lilies. So the logic of Jesus speaks about the lesser part of creation, and if those parts of creation are attended to so well by the Creator and the Provider, then the inescapable conclusion is this, that God will take care of us. So does anxiety make any sense at all? Now, Jesus elsewhere, of course, commends the practice of preparing for the future. Concern is great. Anxiety is bad. Concern is positive. It is empowering, and it is being responsible. But Jesus does not commend anxiety about the future. That's negative. It is disabling. It is counterproductive. It lessens our ability to cope, to make decisions. It renders us progressively incapable of dealing with life. Since he has promised to provide, we are under absolutely no obligation to worry. In other words, stress in life, yeah, that's inevitable, but anxiety, that's optional. Jesus calls now for a radical refocus for 2020 vision. Again, 2020 vision is not what you see, it's how you see. Getting our priorities in order, or as we've been talking about, getting things right side up again. Getting first things first. So, okay, what's first? Well, it's not me. Jesus tells us what's first. He says, it's the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, what's the kingdom? Well, break that word down. The first half of it is king. So a kingdom has a king. Now, who's that king? We've got to be really clear on that. the last part of it, the D-O-M, is short for a dominion or domain. So if there is a king, he has a domain. Where is God's domain? The domain that he seeks is in your life, to be your king, your ruler, your master. So it's really not about your kingdom or about anyone else's. This takes for us a radical trust and, again, a radical reorientation. And then to that matter of kingdom, he adds, and his righteousness. Righteousness, that is a very important word in the Bible. It's a great word. It means that which is right. Pretty obvious, isn't it? Now, I don't know about you, but I've got problems with that. What I mean is that as a sinner, and I am one, just ask my wife, just ask my kids, okay, that means that I think, I say, and I do things that are not right, unrighteous, like even worry and anxiety. That's unrighteousness. You see, my righteousness comes up short. So I need to do what Jesus said, seek his righteousness. Emphasize that word, his, not my righteousness, his righteousness, which is a perfect righteousness. So in practical means, day by day, that we transfer trust away from self, which is always inviting anxiety, transferring the trust from self onto our Lord Jesus Christ. And his righteousness, you see, is based on his perfect obedience, even to death on the cross, in my place as my substitute, and he offers this great exchange, mine for his righteousness for my unrighteousness. He asks, hey, guys, want to trade? The answer should be, sure, let's trade. We got to get first things first, the principle of priority, and that is the invitation to trust in the midst of all the anxieties that the rest of the world is suffering from right now. You see, the point of Jesus is this, that you are of more value than the birds, than the lilies. And he also says that if God did not spare his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, will he not also along with him surely give us all things? That proves that you are of more value than the birds, more value than the lilies, more value than any other living thing, more valuable than any inanimate objects. God fixes his attention on you because you are his priority. And he actually spends more effort thinking about you personally than he does about everything else all the way out to the farthest reaches of the universe because we need it. We need his help continually. You are the priority. When the world was lost, what did the Son of God come to do? He came to search for you. And you are God's top priority. Now, that's not some overinflated estimation of your value. That's the value that has been assigned by God. He is passionate about you. And it required everything that Jesus has and everything that Jesus is in order to save you, and he did whatever it took. Okay, think about it. Were you the priority when God the Son in eternity decided to humble himself and then empty himself and then to live on earth in human flesh? Were you God's priority when Jesus experienced hunger and thirst and heat and cold and pain, and loneliness, and the hurt of rejection? Were you God's top priority when Jesus went to a cross? You see, he did not die there for the birds and for the flowers, but for you. He died for every one of us. We became the priority. We became the first thing, and he put first things first. That shouts to us the incredible truth that we are infinitely valuable to him, and it required the infinitely valuable sacrifice in order to save us. To save us from the destruction that sin brings. Because apart from Jesus, we would be destined to be separated from God forever. Anxiety, oh yeah, it does change our circumstances, but only for the worst. But trust transforms every circumstance because it connects us to the infinite love and power of God. He cares for you infinitely. COVID, unrest in the streets, he's got your back. Have no anxiety.